Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews. We're going to be in chapter 11 today. And we're going to be studying from verses 8 through 10. We're studying in the book of Hebrews authentic faith. We've been in this year-long study of authentic church, just so you're familiar. And we want to be a church that is an authentic church. And now, as we walk through this, we're to the point of authentic faith. But what does faith mean? And so I'm going to drill down through this entire chapter, this definition. Maybe write it down. Believing God at His Word. You know the next part? And acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God has promised a good result. Let me say it again. Believing God at His Word. It's God's Word. Do you believe in the authority of God's Word? But not just believing it, acting on it, no matter how I feel. Because, I mean, anybody all for truth in church, how many sometimes don't feel like doing what God has called you to do, right? Believing God at His Word and acting on it no matter how I feel, because why? God has promised a good result. So that's our definition, and as we've looked through this, we saw a description. Well, I thought that the definition, Nate, was verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews. No, that's a description. A description is the assurance or the title deed of things hoped for. That faith is the title deed of the things that are hoped for. What do we hope for? Well, we hope for eternal life. We hope for heaven. We hope for the fact of one day being with Him, our Savior. And it is the conviction of things not seen. Conviction not in the sense of, oh, I'm so convicted, but it's in like, I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt. The conviction of things not seen. Then last week you looked at what would be called a pretty much an outline of the chapter. That genuine faith is a worshiping faith. It's where faith begins. It's a conscious awakening to the revelation revealed. And we saw that in Abel believed God at His Word when, in regards to sacrifice for sins. In that, listen, Abel was like, it's not about my way. That was Cain. I'm going to bring a bunch of fruit and veggies. Abel's like, that's not what God prescribed. I'm going to believe God at His Word and act on it based on the revelation of God. And that's a worshiping faith. Then we saw that faith is a walking faith, a faith that pleases God, a godly character that pleases God. And we saw that in Enoch, that he believed God. He believed God's revealed word, and he followed Him daily. And that pleased God. And then we saw that genuine faith is a working faith, that it does what God says. It's the end game. It does what God says, even when you're not remotely qualified to do what you think God is asking you to do. Think about that for a minute. It seeks God, and He gives you something that you can't do in your own strength. But I'm really good at this, but God wants me to do this. But I'm really good over here, but God wants me over there. Why? Because then you walk with Him in faith, and you worship Him. Because you didn't do it, and you know it had to be Him. And so that was kind of the first seven verses, kind of give us an outline. Noah, the farmer, who was asked to be a boat builder. Think he really had a good feeling on that one? Build a what? Because what's going to happen? Rain, what's that? I'm supposed to like get all these animals and save my family, no matter how you feel, right? I'm sure that when he was building the ark, and people were yelling and making fun of him, he probably didn't feel like he wanted to continue. This is somewhat of a story of me and my family. Today we're going to look at the example of faith. See, the next eight, from 8 to 40 are examples based on this. Worship, walk, work. Based on this description based on what faith is. Now, like a good preacher, he gives you the meat, and then he gives you examples so that you can go, okay, the meat was really good, but I understand it now because of the examples. And so he gives now example number one, the calling of Abraham. Now, the story of me and Abraham go way back. The first time I spoke on the calling of Father Abraham was to a college group at Calvary Baptist Church. It was teaching on Genesis 12, and I wasn't necessarily in a good place. And then, just to be honest, I didn't know where God was leading. I had been searching. And I had read a tweet from Pastor James McDonald about Harvest Bible Chapel looking for a few good men. And so I opened it up just to find out that I'm not even remotely qualified for what they were looking for. And so I went on with my studies, kind of somewhat disappointed, and began to preach to this college group. It was middle of February. And we were digging down on Genesis chapter 12. And I was haranguing, if I could use that word, the group to follow where the Lord leads, no matter what. And any NCIS fans here? Right? When Leroy Jethro Gibbs gives you me a little slap on the back of the head, except for this time it was the Lord. And he's like, you need to start believing the words that you're preaching. He said, I put something in front of you. Do you believe me? That was 6 years ago. Harvest Bible Chapel, Cambridge, was a result of that. I believed God at his word no matter how I felt. I acted on it because God has promised a good result. Amen? And he's building his church and he's just looking for a few good men. And so I went and stepped out in faith. But it comes back to this crucial moment and me and my love for Father Abraham because, listen, it's us. It's what we, it's the point that we have to come out in faith and believe. Romans 4 says that Abraham believed God and it was counted for him as righteousness. In verse 11 of chapter 4, it says that he was considered the father of all who believe. So when we sing that song, Father Abraham, if you're a believer, that's you, man. That's you. He's your father. Father of all who believe. I want to say it in a sentence for you today. Here it is. And this will look familiar for your text, familiar for your outline. But if I could tell you what this message is about in one sentence, here it is. Genuine faith obeys God's revealed word. Let me just stop there. Genuine faith believes God's revealed word. It obeys it. Do you believe? Just look up here. We can fill the rest in just a minute. But do you believe in the authority of Scripture for your life? I mean, the Scripture is full of the fact that the authority of Scripture comes from God. His word is like a fire, and you know what he calls you? Wood. His word is like a hammer on your callous heart. His word is like a seed when planted. Well, is it planted on good soil? Because if it is, it just reaps. But if it's planted on thorny, where everything kind of chokes it out, you don't believe in the authority of God's word. And I'm asking you to believe in the authority of God's word. Genuine faith obeys God's revealed word, even when the destination is not clear and the end is not in sight. To our text, three verses today. You're thinking, Pastor Nate, we'll never get through Hebrews 11, let alone 12 and 13. That's okay. It's all right. Everybody say it's okay. It's okay. Right, everybody help Justin say it's okay. It's okay. All right, good. I feel better now. By faith, verse 8 says, Abraham obeyed. Circle that word. When he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Obey there, it's a really unique word. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. In other words, it's saying, put these words together. He said, immediately, while he was being called, he obeyed. Immediately, nothing just came to me. My father, who's a little ill today, he used to be really big on the fact that as children, our responsibility when he called us was not to say what, but to say, what was the word, Mom? Coming, right? Immediately. Nate, coming! And actually, come. You know, like coming, like maybe tomorrow. No, but to show up. Now, the scripture here is saying that when Abraham got the call, he, while being called, immediately we're going. Now, let me just, Lord, let me pray over it. What? The Lord going to have a different response? Abraham, I want you to go. Let me pray. To who? I'll get back with you in a month. I'll get back with you in a week. No, he went. While being called, he acted on it. Genuine faith is not possible without a soul that has been saved. And so, to get a better understanding of Abraham, we kind of have to find out, who is this cat? Just the facts, right? Who is this Father Abraham that we talk about? Well, history reports that Abraham was born in 2166 B.C. That's a long time ago. Everybody say long time. It was a long time ago, right? In fact, if you were born in that time period, just raise your hand. Okay, so nobody. He was born in a city called Ur of the Chaldees. It was a seaport in the Persian Gulf on the mouth of the Euphrates River. Kind of a hotbed for activity these days. At the time, it was considered the most magnificent city in the world. It was a center of manufacturing, farming, and shipping. Skeptics were wondering if Ur actually existed until in the early 1900s they were proved wrong when it was discovered in southern Iraq. So I think I have some pictures here. Yeah, there we go. That's a rendering of what it looked like. That guy wasn't around in 2166. But it was supposedly one of the most magnificent cities in the world. The largest building found in the upper corner up over here is this building called a ziggurat. Now, I didn't say cigarette. I said ziggurat, okay? It was a place of worship. It was modeled after the Tower of Babel. Well, I thought it was like a leaning tower, that tower. No, it was a platform that grew and they kept building to it where they would ascend to the heavens to worship the creation rather than the creator. And this is what was happening here in Ur of the Chaldees. In Ur, they worshipped Naaman, who was the moon god, and Nergal, his wife. Genesis 11 records that his father, Terah, had three sons. Now, the way it reads, it's possible that they were triplets. Brother Nahor, brother Haran, and Abram. Now, Haran had a son whose name was Lot. Anybody ever heard of Lot? Okay. But tragically, Haran died. The scripture says in Genesis 11, he had a son named Lot, but Terah watched his son Haran die in front of him. Pretty tragic, right? So now we see an association with Terah and Lot. Abraham had a wife named Sarah who had no children. That's coming in next week's verse. And of course, his brother Nahor had all kinds of children. In fact, one of them was Rebekah. One of his granddaughters was Rebekah, whose brother Laban had another daughter, two daughters, Leah and Rachel. His faith, according to Joshua Joshua 24 said this, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, they served other gods.'" What are you saying there, Nate? I'm saying that the family of Terah were idolaters. They worshipped the moon god and his wife. "They" implies Abraham as well. Oh, I didn't know that. That's a beautiful picture, though. See, God shows himself to Abram. But I'd like to kind of help you understand a little bit about where this was going with Abram, whose name would be changed to Abraham, in what I call God's funnel. See, the scriptures are written in such a way that it kind of looks like a funnel in the Old Testament. For 2,000 years, from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, God is dealing with the world. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the call of Abraham, where God now takes it into one family, one person. Then God chooses a tribe within that family. In the Pentateuch, he chooses Judah. And of Judah, he chooses a family within that tribe in the family of David. And within that family, he chooses or sends one man, Jesus. And God funneling down his grace, beginning with Abram, to each one of us through Jesus Christ. So, Nate, you're saying that he was an idolater. What happened? I don't know the story. Tell me the story. Well, I'm glad you asked. I'd love to tell you the story. It goes like this. Abraham was living in Ur, and the glory of the Lord appeared to him and told him to leave it all, his country, his kindred, his father's house, and to go somewhere. But he didn't tell him where. Just leave it all and go. In fact, it was Stephen, who was being stoned, who told the story. "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran." Genesis 11 records then the family left. And they went to Haran. And then from Haran, Abram left, and we'll get into that in just a minute, and went to Canaan, which would be the place that God would show him, "All of this will belong to you." Now, I can imagine the conversation that he's having with his dad. "Dad, we're leaving." "When?" "Now." "I'm selling everything." Some believe that Abraham was a real estate type of person who sold things. And if that's the case, that's great. He had a great job. He lived in one of the largest cities in the world at the time. And God's calling him away from all of that. "And what are you going to live in?" Didn't you hear Dad's questions? Where are you going to go? What are you going to live in? Who are you going to be with? What's going on?" "Dad, we don't know. We're following God." "Which one?" "The God. The maker of heaven and earth. I've never heard of him. He appeared to me." Now, scripture records then Terah says, "Well, I'll take you." Genesis 11 said, "He took Abraham, Lot, and Sarah." The good way to remember this, salt. Sarah, Abraham, Lot, and Terah all left for Haran. But is that what God said? No. Here's what I want to get at. Genuine faith obeys the revelation of God. Genuine faith obeys the revelation of God. Firstly, this way, write this down. The first revelation you must obey is salvation. The first revelation you must obey is salvation. How did Abraham go from an idolater to a believer? The particular call of God on his life. What does that mean? Well, let me just backtrack for just a minute. I believe the scripture is very clear. Matthew 22, verse 14 says that many are called, but few come. Okay? But there is a general call for all of us. If you're here today, there's a general call in your life to follow Christ as your Savior. Now, whether you choose to believe it or not, it's up to you. But all of us will stand one day before God and have to give an answer to that general call. Romans 1 is another example of this general, how he gives us nature. We call it general revelation of who God is. And yet man has rejected that, and lovers of themselves followed their own way. But there is something in Scripture, and I want to give you some references that you can read with me, called the particular call. John chapter 10, write this down. John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking about those that hear his voice. In John 10, verses 1 through 5, it says, Jesus is speaking to his children. He says that the shepherd comes to the fold, and the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's a particular call. And he has brought them out all with his voice, all his own, and he goes before them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. In Romans 8, verses 29 through the end of the chapter, it says this: all things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among the brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also, what do you think the word is there? Called. And those he also called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Now the question I have for you is, do you believe this? Do you believe in the authority of God's word? Because I've talked to people and I share these types of verses with them, and they're like, I understand that's from the Bible, but I don't believe it. I believe in God and I love God, but I'm not following his word. Maybe today you're just living under this whole general, I know who God is, but you've never been particularly called. The particular call of God, one writer wrote this: the internal, invincible, individual call of God that is an act of sovereign grace. Think of that. Think of it as an internal, invincible, individual call of God that is an act of sovereign grace, accompanied by his almighty power and quickening to those who were dead in their trespasses and sins. To those he imparts eternal life. The particular call of God obeys the revelation of God. Consider what 1 Corinthians says. When Paul writes, he says, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of us were wise according to the worldly standards, and not many of us powerful, and not many of us were of noble birth. Now, if I read that, you're like, I kind of resemble that. I'm not very smart. I'm not noble. That's me. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chooses what is the foolish things in the world to shame the wise. He chooses the weak in the world to shame the strong. God chooses what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring about to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being mighty might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. Let the one who boasts boast in Christ alone. 1 Peter 2:9 says this: but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, to proclaim the virtues of him, here it is, who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. The story of Abraham is he was in darkness. He was following, ironically, in darkness, the moon god. And God called him out of that in a very particular way. Who is it? God. And in the presence of the glory of God, he was forever changed from darkness to light. An internal, invincible, individual call of God. Have you heard that call of God? How have you answered it? The second call that happened there was the call to become a great nation. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says this. You can turn there if you'd like. Through the verse 5 it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you." All right, so we have a little call here. It's like, leave where you're at, leave your father, and go where I tell you to go. Where's that? I'll tell you. Okay. Why should I do it? Well, continue reading, verse 2. "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and to him that dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." A little sevenfold blessing here if Abraham does what God says. I have it on the screen there. "I'll make them a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing." Think of all the people that Abraham was a blessing to. "I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And in you all the world will be blessed." How? How will all the world, how are we blessed? Through the line of Abram came Jesus. The word of God revealed for us so that we might have eternal life. And that particular call that God has for each one of you, listen, it comes with some blessings. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the blessings that come with your salvation? Maybe you're thinking about, oh, it's so much stuff that I can't do anymore. Wait. Think about the blessings that he has said in his word. That he's adopted us into his family. That he has given us eternal life. And this life is in his son. Think for the fact that one day we will be the bride of Christ. We will be heirs. We are heirs. Our sin and all its guilt have been laid on the cross and we have been forgiven. See, sometimes we hold on to that thinking, I could never be more for God because, no, your sin has been forgiven. Long before you came to Christ, long before he calls you home, once justified on the cross, forgiven, he's blessed us. For those of us that have heard the particular call, he has blessed us just like he promised Abraham. And the world is being blessed by the substitutionary atonement of Jesus for our sins. God doesn't always give us awesome blessings. But he gives us what we need. And he gives us hope. And with the call of God came some expectations of response. Leave this place and leave your family behind. Now, I want to just tell you, for those of you that are believers, look up here. Because this is particularly for you. For those of you that have answered the particular call of God in your life and have become a Christ follower and are following him, do you realize that you are to do two things? Abram was to leave the place that he was, and he was to leave his family behind. And you are called out of your old position. Now think about that. He himself gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil, Galatians says, according to the will of God. Our old position. John chapter 15 says that if you were in the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. See, both of those verses tell us our old position is no longer. We are called to a new condition, not our old condition. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Isaiah 43, John 3:3, and Romans 16 all tell us specifically that the old is gone and the new has come. John 3:3 says that you must be born again. Your old condition isn't good enough to get you to heaven. And so you must be born again. Evil in this world, now delivered, amen. hatred by the world, now loved by God. You were once a sinner, and now you are saved. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? See, you need to be reminded, church, that you're to leave the place that he had you, and you're to leave that old family behind to be a Christ follower. Genuine faith obeys the revelation of God. Genuine faith obeys the revelation of God. Even when the destination is not clear. So, think of God's map that he gave Abraham. I was at the Young Life rummage sale yesterday, and I happened to find this unique piece of paper just laying around, and I asked, how much was this? Because I thought, man, this looks awesome. This has got to be something really cool, because it's got a wax seal on it, and it looks really old. Now you can have it, Hannah said. She's not making money by just giving stuff away, but I just didn't want to tell her. I'd like to figure out what it is, so let me just open it up. Anybody have an idea? Treasure map! Problem. There's just an X. Whoa. Apparently I'm here. But how do I get there? My destination is not very clear. I can see why you gave this away for free. Would anybody like a used treasure map to help the Young Life? Abraham receives the word from the Lord. The destination is unclear. Just go. Just go. I'll show you. And sometimes that's how God is with us. We have to go, but to where? Well, I got to believe God at his word. He wants me to go. I'm just not really sure, but I'm going to act on it no matter how I feel. Again, that's kind of the story of Jamie and I and our move. Pretty much all of the time. I remember telling her at Baptist Bible College, we were there for a teen event, and we just felt like God was calling us away from where we were. But to where? And I remember her saying, Nate, I'll go anywhere except Portugal. I'm like, okay. I don't think the Lord's calling us there. But if he could call us to Michigan or Ohio, that would be even better. All right, let's just pray. And several years ago, I don't know, Ben was like in first grade, so a long time ago, God called us to a church in Ohio. And I can remember the moment where we felt like, you know, our ministry there was done. We needed to go somewhere, and that story I told you about God opening the door to harvest. But you know what that meant? Like everything we knew. Alex was a senior that year. Right? We had to leave her behind so she could finish her schooling. We had to homeschool Abby and Ben. Pray for my wife. She's still in recovery. But we got there, and you know what our thing said? The Davises, destination, Ohio. What was missing there? There's no name in front. There's no name in front of them. I was introduced by Pastor James as, this is Nate Davis. He's going to Ohio. People come up to you, where are you going in Ohio? I have no idea. Pastor James has a glorious thing for my life. I have no idea what it's going to be. I remember it was in October, and I said, you know, I'm going to go home to see my daughter for a senior night. It was the last football game of the year, and I wanted to go. Could you tell me where we might be going? And it was like, oh, we haven't told you. Do you think you can make it work in Cambridge? Yeah. Who doesn't say that, right? Sometimes I look back in that moment going, why, Lord? Moving to Cambridge? Where are we going to be? The fateful Sunday when Anna stopped by our house, finding out that things weren't always kosher in Byesville. First Sunday night church service. Destination, unclear. The call in April, 4 years ago, from Heath to say, hey, you need to find a new place to meet. When? Sunday? Like 6 days from now? Yeah, it's just not going to work out. What? I remember talking with Mike, and we're like, hey, we'll be fine. We met in a park for 6 weeks, and it rained like it's rained this April, and squirrels, and baby squirrels, drum shields being broken. Remember these good times, right? Destination unclear. Where were we going? Cold calling on Pritchard. Sure. Moving into this space, and you walk in and you go, this looks really ugly, and then we get to work on it for 6 weeks wondering, is there a, right? Stepping out in faith. Sometimes we have to, not knowing where we're going, but we go. How far are you willing to go by faith? Abraham started out well. He was told to leave his city behind. He was told to leave his family behind. He was told to leave his house behind. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. He was told to go to a place where God would show him. 2 out of 4 ain't bad. Genesis 11 records that his father-in-law kind of took charge and took them up to Haran. Was God calling him to Haran? Did God say, go to Haran? No, he didn't. He said, go to the land I show you, but Abraham stopped. 700 miles Haran was. You see the map here that I have? You can see, made it all the way up the Fertile Crescent, and that next part of the journey, if he were to keep going, was all desert. So he stopped 700 miles from Ur, 700 miles from Shechem. Interestingly enough, Dad took him to a place that also worshipped the moon god. And they settled in Haran. Church, be careful of getting sidetracked on your step of faith. Abraham had Haran in Egypt. And God only knows the multitude of believers who have left their Ur only to get stopped in Haran, only to get bogged down. Just a warning. Believing God at His word and acting on it no matter how I feel because He's promised a good result means entirely on His word. Now, I love the fact that that's in there. Why do I love the fact that that's in there? Because it means Abraham's not some super dude. That means he's a lot like you and me. That means we can do this. Say, we can do this. That means we can do this. But it took some pain along the way. Genuine faith obeys the revelation of God. Genuine faith obeys the revelation of God, even when the destination is not clear. If we look at our text in Hebrews, it says this. He obeyed when he was called to go out of the place where he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went into the live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents. That's a unique word there, foreign land. In other words, he had no rights. Now, some people, maybe even in this room, come to this country and they live as foreigners. With very little rights, Abraham had no rights. He lived in tents. Just think if foreigners had to live in tents. No. He looked for a city. Not that he could live in, but the one that was coming. And Abraham believes even when the end is not in sight. That's where that's one of the major points here in this. In verse 10 it says this, he was looking forward to the city that has its foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now that's really unique, because what he's saying here is Abraham looked for a city that had foundations, a permanency, but not just any city. Abraham lived in a city, lived in one of the most magnificent cities in the world at the time. It had foundations. He had a home. Now he lives in tents, no foundation. But he lived looking for a city that had foundations, and its architect and its builder was God. Now think about the foundation of God's city. Have you read it? Have you read about that? Like, there's 12 layers to the foundations. It's bad enough that we walk on things that we most value in heaven. Maybe it's not bad enough. It just shows how awesome God is. Streets of gold. But read what Revelation says about the New Jerusalem and the 12 beautiful layers of the foundation of the city. Apparently, there are going to be pearls so big that it's going to have a gate made of a pearl. That's a pretty big claim. But it is God. And Abraham was looking forward to that. And for his entire life, he lived in a tent as a wanderer. One day God will give me all of this land, but that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for him. I'm looking to be with him. Think about foundations. Foundations and cities offer safety, offer pleasure, offer opportunity. Whereas the reverse is true of tents. They're unsafe. Oftentimes it's just you and the sheep. There's not a lot of opportunity. There's permanency in a city. There's waiting. There's wandering. See, look, this is personal here. Okay? We love cities, not the city. In our walk, we want to be where it's safe. We want to be where I have plenty of opportunity in my faith or my lack thereof. And we don't step out as God calls us to in faith to do what he has called us to do by faith, because that's unsafe. And that's not a lot of opportunity there. I mean, the world's given me all of this, Nate, and you're asking me to step out and go over here and do this stuff? It's not very safe, right? He's never told us we'll be safe. He's only told us we'll be saved. I think I'll take the second one. Learn the secret to look for the city of God and to obey in faith. Even if that means temporary pleasures of this world are out. Think about the one who went to a city, right? Abraham stopped in Haran. God said, hey, it's time to go. Killed his dad. Well, his dad died. I probably said that a little wrong. Dad died. Time to move on. Lot goes with him. Who goes to the city? Lot. Never heard of again. The key is, who's the builder? Who's the architect of the thing you want built? The text says that he was looking for a city whose designer, that's the word where we get architect, and whose builder or laborer is God. Given the choice, I want God to do the thing that he wants me to do. I want him to be the builder. I want him to be the architect. We want him to be the one who moves this church where he's going to move this church. Amen? He is the architect and builder of what we are doing here at Harvest Bible Chapel. Just some closing thoughts for as our worship team comes. I don't have these up on screen. They're meant to be personal. The first closing thought I had as I was sitting this week, and I was just kind of pondering what Abraham was going through and what we can take away from these types of messages about faith, is this. When God is revealing himself to me, I must choose to obey in faith. Like if I could have a little thing that I'm going to say right now that's going to help me this week is when God is revealing through his word what he wants me to do, I must choose to obey in faith. For some of you, that means that begins at salvation. You can't have genuine faith without knowing the person that gives you the faith. All right? So it begins at salvation. And you need that today. And today you can be saved, believing the revealed word of God. But some of you, that's in your worship, in your walk, in your work. Secondly, do you have faith like Abraham that sees the promises of God as yes and amen? Abraham finally gets to the point in his life where he says, you know, God said it, I'm going to do it. Do you have that kind of faith? Are you a foundations person or are you a tent person? Are you a city dweller or a nomad? But if I do what God says, it's going to cost me, Nate. Right? Right? Maybe the thought for you out of this message today is, are you bogged down in your own Haran? Now, God's called me to do something, but I'm just kind of stopped here right now. I'm just kind of like here. I'm in my own little Haran. I'm waiting for Tara to die before I move on. Maybe just step out in faith today. Lastly, Abraham is praised for his faith from salvation to glory. How would you rate your faith? Given the same set of circumstances, God calling you someplace, how would you rate it? A plus. F minus. Maybe we need to learn from Father Abraham the step of faith. It's difficult, but it's necessary. And God starts with this excellent, excellent, excellent example of one who will be called the father of all who believe. Because the cost was high for him. And yet he followed anyways. We're going to get into some really awesome stuff that continues in his life over the weeks to come. Okay? You got to have that same. He's the father of you who believe. Right? Because you are to follow by that very same faith. Do it today. Because we are looking, right, church, for a city whose author or architect and builder is God. We are bound for glory. Amen? So I wanted to finish with that song today, Bound for Glory. And I picked that out on Tuesday, real early, right? Because I knew, and this is it for us. This is like where God wants us. We're bound for glory. And we need to be living on that walk of faith like that. All right? I am free because I'm bound. I am bound for heaven's gates. My feet is on holy ground. I am bound for glory. All right? So let's do that together. Let's stand and sing. And let's be refreshed by the fact that God loves us and that we are here to serve him by faith.